good to be here with you all. Good to be here again, and it's good to have all our visitors here with us. We have quite a few this time, it seems, so it's good to have you with us. We hope that you will come back as soon as possible. It's also good to have my sister here with me. Dad was telling Mr. Odom, she is about to go on her way back to Florida College tomorrow, so she's back home, but now she's on her way back to Florida. So it's good to have had her for the break, as long as we did. So what we're going to be speaking about this evening is attributes of being filled with the Spirit. For the past couple of months, it's something that I've been struggling with. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? The study that I've been having with Ethan Sticken, he was asking me, he was like, so whenever it says filled with the Spirit, does that mean that he's literally inside of us? And I told him, I really can't tell you because it's something that I'm struggling with as well. So I decided that it was something that I needed to study up on so that I could be able to give a defense for the things of the faith. So as I was studying, I realized that I really may never know what it means exactly to be filled with the Spirit. But I can know what you do with those attributes if you are filled with the Spirit, and what it means to be showing traits of the Holy Spirit. So as we look at this topic, let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll be reading verses 17 through 20. If you have a marker in your Bible, please mark this page. We're going to be turning back to it quite often. So if you please read me in Ephesians 5, starting in verse 17. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Verse 20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and be subject one to another in the fear of Christ. In verse 17 and verse 18, we can see that to be drunk with wine is unwise. But on the flip side of that, we can also see that we can be wise if we are filled with the Spirit. And it goes on with a list of attributes that we will show if we are filled with the Spirit. So we're going to be looking at these wise things that we can do if we are filled with the Spirit. First, I think it's very important that we understand what it's talking about when it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And like I said, it's something that a lot of brethren struggle with. It's something that I myself have been struggling with and have been trying to figure out. So as we look back to the Greek, we're going to be looking at some of the words of to fill, what those Greek words mean and what it's trying to say in Ephesians 5 and verse 18. The word fill, here, I'll write it up on the board here. You can tell me if you can't see it, and then I won't. So, the word to fill is the Greek word pletho. Is everyone able to see that all right? All right. Pletho means to fill. But it also has meaning. It can either be understood literally or figuratively to fill. So it can also mean to imbue, which means to impregnate or to influence in a certain way. So it can either be used in a figurative or literal sense. So as we look at some of the verses, we're not going to be turning there, we're just going to be looking through them quickly. That it is the word pletho, the Greek word pletho, is used literally, as in to cram or to scrunch together. They came and filled both the boats, speaking of the fish that were loaded onto the boats, in Luke 5 and verse 7. In Matthew 22 and verse 10, the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. And at Jesus' crucifixion, Matthew 27 and verse 48, and taking a sponge, he filled it with sour wine. This word here is the word pletho, and it's used in the literal sense that we can see here, that it is literally filled up or crammed into this one substance. But when we look at it in its figurative sense, we look in Luke 4 and verse 28 and says, all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage. Pletho again. Luke 5 and verse 26, they were all struck with astonishment. Pletho. They were filled with jealousy. Acts 5 and verse 17. The city was filled with confusion. Acts 19 and verse 28. So all these different verses are used with pletho being in the figurative sense, meaning that it's not literally to mean that these people and these things were literally filled with an emotion, that the emotion was inside of them, but that they were extremely, or they were struck with this emotion. It's more of the sense of that it is the influence of that emotion. When the term to be filled with the Holy Spirit is used, it's the phrase pletho agios, and that's just H-A-G-I-O-S at the end after plethos. So as we see this, it's to be filled with the Spirit. Luke 1 and verse 15, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's speaking about John the Baptist as the angel is speaking to Elizabeth. Luke 1 and verse 41, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit when Mary approached her with her child. And in Acts 2 and verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now by using the word pletho, it could either mean in a literal sense or a figurative sense. It's kind of up in the air. Maybe the Spirit was literally guiding them and filling them, but maybe, as it says in Acts 2:4, that's probably the best example of where it would be spiritual gifts in that sense. But it could also mean just the influence of the Spirit. But in Acts, or in Ephesians 5:19, it uses a different word instead of pletho. It uses the word pleroo. That is a branch off of the word pletho, as you can see the same stem as play. So it's a branch off of that word. And in Ephesians 5:19, when it says filled with the Spirit, 5:18, it uses the phrase pleroo and pneuma. And it's the only time that this phrase is used in the Bible. And since pleroo is a branch off of pletho, it has the same meaning, to fill, but it is almost always used, except for once or twice, in the figurative sense. In Philippians 1 and 11, having been filled with the fruits of righteousness. Colossians 1 and verse 9, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. It's something that you're not literally filled with that emotion. You're not literally filled with the fruits of righteousness or the knowledge of his will. But you are having that influence. You have the influence and the imbuement of that thing. So why does Paul use this word in Ephesians 5 and verse 18? He uses this word because he doesn't want this to be confused with spiritual gifts. He doesn't want this to be confused with something that is miraculous in any way. But by this, using the most figurative word he could, he brings forth the idea, the meaning, to impregnate or to influence. As we know the phrase, he has his Father in him. It's not that the son or the daughter literally has the Father inside of him, but it's that he shows the attributes and the influence and the traits of his Father. In the same way, with this verse, we can see that the Spirit has influence upon us and can be visible to others if we know how we can show the attributes of the Spirit. So that's what we're going to be looking at, these different attributes whenever we are filled with the Spirit. As we look in verse 19, the first attribute that we see, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We're going to be looking at why we do these different attributes. So as we start off, let's look in James 5 and verse 13. James 5 and verse 13. And I apologize if I don't get in my Bible as quick as usual. This is a new Bible that my brother got me, so the pages aren't worn in yet. So, James 5 and verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Why are we to speak to one another? Why do we speak to one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs? We sing to one another because we are cheerful. Because we're happy. We're happy for all the things that we have on this earth and we want to sing about it. As Dad wrote an article for our monthly bulletin, he said, it's something that God has given us that we can be able to show our emotion. We can be able to show how we feel. In the same way, we should be able to do that with spiritual songs as well. Show that we are cheerful in what we are saying. In Acts 16 and verse 25. Acts 16 and verse 25. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. In the context of this, Paul and Silas are imprisoned in Philippi. And this is the context where the Philippian jailer was converted. And even though they were in prison, even though they were probably in stocks and bonds, even though they had all these difficulties, they were able to sing because it could raise their spirits so that they could be cheerful once again. And if they're cheerful, they're going to want to sing hymns once again. So, we speak to one another through song to lift our spirits. We sing to one another through song, as we can see in Psalms. Psalm 7 and verse 17. Psalm 7 and verse 17. It reads, I will give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. We know that God is all-powerful. He created all things for us. We should be able to praise him. And that should encourage us to sing those praises because of how much he's done for us. The name of the Lord Most High. That should encourage us to sing. Over in Psalm 30, just a few pages over, Psalm 30, we'll be looking in verse 4. Sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name. God is a God that is set apart from all else. He is not like the world. He is not like us at all. He is holy. And we should give thanks for what he's done for us. We should sing and give thanks to him through that avenue of Psalms. And if you have your marker there, back in Ephesians 5, in verse 19, we see one last verse, or one last point that we can see here. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Whenever we sing, we are able to teach those who are around us. Even though it shouldn't be this way, if you never teach a soul again through your words or your conduct, you can know that you're teaching someone through your singing. You can know that whenever you're singing a song, that you can teach them, if they've never heard a song, you can teach them that Jesus is the Lord through those songs. And you can teach each other, building each other up. I surrender all. You can teach them that they should want to take up their cross daily and follow after Him as well. In fact, let us all stand just for a moment. And I have a song picked out that you're all familiar with. I don't believe you need your songbooks. I'm happy today. I'm happy today, oh yes, I'm happy today, in Jesus Christ. I'm happy today because He's taken all my sins away, and that's why I'm happy today. You see what you did there? With that one song, you basically did all these points that we've looked through. All these points. We are cheerful. I am happy today. We lift our spirits. I'm happy today. Doesn't that lift your spirits if you're not feeling well today? To sing, I'm happy today. We praise God through our song just then. We gave thanks to God, saying, Jesus Christ took our sins away. That's why I'm happy today. We're grateful to God for what He has done for us. And you just taught the person next to you that Jesus took your sins away. And that's sort of an invitation. Why not let Him take your sins away as well? Please be seated. Whenever we are filled with the Spirit, we show certain attributes. And one of those attributes is speaking to one another through song. It's something that God has set forth for us, something that God has made that we are able to sing. Let us praise God for that every day of our lives, singing praises to Him so that people around us can see that we are people that are filled with the Spirit. As we see in the next verse, verse 20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. The next point that we're going to be looking at is why we give thanks to God. Why is that an attribute that we have whenever we're filled with the Spirit? Turn over with me, please, to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. We can be thankful to God for our physical blessings. No matter if you're the richest man on earth or the poorest person on earth, you can be thankful for those physical blessings that He gives us. And maybe there are some here who are not as well off as others, and you're thinking, but what are those physical blessings? I'm not seeing it. Well, let's look at some of those things. Over in Acts 17. Acts 17. And we'll be looking at 24 and 25. The God who made the world and all things in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. You're alive. Isn't that something to be grateful for? You're breathing right now while you're sitting there. That's something to be grateful to God for. That's something that we can praise Him for every day. Say in our prayers, Lord, I thank You that You gave me another day. I thank You that You still have breath within my lungs. That's something that we can praise God for every day of our lives. Over in Matthew 15. Matthew 15 and verse 36. And he took the 7 loaves, he being Jesus, and the fish, and giving thanks, he broke them and started giving them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the people. Now while this was a miraculous happening, that the bread and the fish were divided and were spread out among all, and everyone was able to eat, notice who Jesus gave thanks to. Notice that Jesus knew that it was God who gave that bread and that fish to him. And it was God who was able to separate those things and give it to all the people. It was God who did those things. And for that, Jesus was going to give thanks for that food. Please turn over to Acts 14. Acts 14 and verse 17. Acts 14, 17. And yet, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. There may be some here that have been or are farmers. And you know how grateful you are for that fruitful season. How blessed it is to go outside and see corn or peas or whatever it is you're growing out in that field in abundance. How blessed it is to see that. How blessed it is to see the food on your table. That's something to give God the gratefulness for. It's something that we should thank God for daily. Finally, for our physical blessings, Matthew 6. This is the context of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6. We'll be looking at 28 through 30. He's speaking about things that we don't need to worry about, as we spoke about a couple of months ago. Verse 28. And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They neither toil nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Jesus says that clothing is something that you don't need to worry about. If you're going through a tough time financially and you're not sure how you're going to make ends meet, just know that God will still clothe you. He even clothes the lilies of the field, which are thrown into fire. And is He not even more caring about you, about each and every one of us, being able to give us clothing on our backs? What a blessing that is. We can thank God for our physical blessings. We can also thank God for our spiritual blessings over in Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, and we'll be looking at verse 3. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. spiritual blessings is something that we have through Christ, and we can be grateful for that. Let's look at some ways that we have spiritual blessings. Over in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1. We'll be looking at verses 3 through 5. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We have salvation through Christ. We have that promise because we can be heirs to that promise. That Christ, through His blood, which He gave dying on the cross, He was buried and rose again. In the same way, we can be buried in baptism and rise again. We have that promise of salvation. You remember whenever you were first baptized, how happy you were that you knew that you had all your sins washed away. We should be able to have that same joy and that same thankfulness to God every day of our lives. Not just whenever we're buried in that water, but every day of our lives. We are grateful to God for that and grateful to Christ as well. Over in Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Therefore, He is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. Christ, daily, if we're walking in the light, as we see in 1 John 1, and we confess our sins, He is making intercession for our sins daily. He's making intercession through His blood, speaking to God, saying, please forgive Him of this sin. As long as we're walking in the light, Christ makes intercession for our sins. That's something that we can be grateful for. Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 26. Romans 8, 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I don't know what that is like. How the Spirit prays for us. Because it's something that's so deep and so intimate that I don't think we can ever understand. But whenever we do pray, the Spirit is the one who is making intercession for those prayers. He's taking our prayers and giving it to the Father, making our requests made known. He is the one who is sending our prayers and imploring that the Lord grant those things. Over in Romans 16. Romans 16 and verse 4. 16 and verse 4. We'll start in verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risk their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Aquila and Priscilla were two people who left their home. I believe it was either in Athens or Corinth. They left their home and sailed all the way to Ephesus with Paul. Why? Because he was a brother. He needed their help at the time because he was alone in Athens. And he needed their help. So the brethren helped him. And all the churches of the Gentiles helped him in his time of need. The brotherhood is something that we need to be thankful for. We have people all around us who are daily helping us, daily praying for us. We should be grateful for their sacrifice that they're making every day for us. We may never know exactly what they're doing, as we don't know what the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. We may never know what some people do for other people. But we can be grateful with that knowledge that they are doing those things. We should be grateful for the brethren and their sacrifice. A cross-reference over in Ephesians 1 and verse 16 and many other passages, Paul says, "And I pray for you and I think of you earnestly, always making mention of you in my prayers." He says that in quite a few epistles that he writes to different churches. Paul was grateful for all those churches, all those brethren, for what they did for him. And he was telling them, "Thank you. You're in my prayers daily." For our final point of giving thanks to God, as we turn back over to Ephesians 5. In verse 20 it says, "Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." We are to be grateful for all things. The physical blessings, the spiritual blessings, and I only mentioned a few. There's bundles and bundles of things that we can be thankful to God for. And these are only a few. But we can be grateful for that. We need to be grateful for all things that God blesses us with. And if we are grateful for all things, and if we pray daily for that gratitude that we have to God, people can see that we are filled with the Spirit. For our final point, in verse 21, "And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." This is our final attribute that we see if we are filled with the Spirit. Why are we being subject to one another? Why do we do that? I'd like to first suggest because we're family. And over in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 and verse 16 and verse 17. "The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him." We are all children of God. We are all heirs to that inheritance that He has given to us. How many of us don't follow exactly the example that we see with the church as we do with our families? With our families, I know that sometimes I mess with my brother and we sometimes don't get along as well as we should. But that shouldn't be so with the family of God. With the family of God, we should always be trying to serve one another. We should always be subject to one another. Because we are family. And we love each other more than anyone else can. Secondly, because we are servants. Over in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. "You younger men likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." We need to show humility. And we need to be subject, all of to not just our elders, but to each other. We need to be servants toward each other. We use this example so many times of over in John 13 in verse 5 through 20. We see Jesus wash the disciples' feet. That's not something that we would probably want to do today, washing other people's feet. But Jesus did. And that was a time when they wore sandals and their feet were probably more grimy than ours. We need to humble ourselves so low before our brethren that we're always working for their benefit. God is opposed to the proud. Whenever we are doing our own bidding and not thinking of any others, it's because we are being prideful. And God is being opposed to us whenever we do that. We need to be subject to one another because we, as Christians, are servants. For our final verses, we look back in Ephesians 5 and verse 21. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ, or in the fear of God. We need to be subject to one another because we revere God and Christ. We know that God and Christ are the people that are higher than us. And if they're higher than us, they're the head of us. And so we need to be helping each other so that we can be able to show our reverence for God and Christ. If we are being subject to one another, we can show everyone that we are filled with the Spirit. That's an attribute that we must have. As we conclude this evening, if we are filled with the Spirit, we're going to have certain attributes. We're going to have certain influence from the Spirit and do certain things because of that influence. If we are filled with the Spirit, we're going to speak to one another in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. If we're filled with the Spirit, we're going to always give thanks in all things in the name of Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And if we are filled with the Spirit, we are going to be subject one to another in the fear of Christ. If you feel in any way that you have been lacking in any of these areas, if you feel that you have not been doing your duties as being filled with the Spirit, and you'd like to fix that, it may be something that you can do in your pew that you're sitting at. But if you feel you need to come forward, the pew is open for you. If you have not been baptized, this is a perfect opportunity to come to God, to be able to be filled with the Spirit and join with us as family, as we have seen. So that we can be able to help you grow and you can be able to help us grow. If there is any need, if you either need to come forward and confess your sins or you need to be baptized into Christ, we ask you to do so at this time as we stand and sing the song of gentle life.
While we pray and